Treat this morning, Annalise Del Basso and Alexis O'Connor are here to sing for us a song called Christmas Alleluia. And they sang it at the Walton Theater when it was the show at the beginning of the month. How many were there? Were there some people? Yeah, quite a few. But we are really fortunate. They were here at the 8:30 service. This is like a double header for them. And they are here to sing for us this morning. So I'm going to invite them to the stage, Annalise and Alexis. Please come.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath, I'm singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem expecting child. They searched the end to find a place for you. We're coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, our Savior, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you are, the frankincense and gold and myrrh, they came to you and cried out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Phenomenal job, ladies. Let's give them another hand. We're in a series titled The Cast of Christmas. And in week one, we talked about the message from the prophets, which is to wait expectantly. There are times in life where you and I, all we can do is to wait with anticipation and expectation for God to do something new and fresh in our life. Part two was about the angels. And the message from the angels was this, that we are to live victoriously. The night that there was the announcement of Jesus' birth, there's a host of angels that appeared in the sky, and they proclaimed that the favor of God rests upon mankind. The favor of God. And you know what favor does for us? It's something that God bestows, and in the midst of the worst circumstances of our life, when we invite and invoke the favor of God to be a part of our life, here's what it does. The circumstances that seem to be against us can work in our favor in the big picture of preparing us for the next level of ministry. Part three in the series was from the shepherds, and the message from them is to follow obediently. When they received this great proclamation in the skies from all these angelic hosts, their response was this. They said, "Let's go. Let's go. Let's go." You see, they acted obediently to what God had showed them. Today is part four in our series, The Cast of Christmas. And the message today is about the Magi. The Magi. Now, the Magi are known as the wise men. And the message from the Magi is this. You and I are to live wisely in this thing called life. We are to live wisely. Understand that we're filled with a world of unwise people making unwise choices that lands us in places that we would prefer not to be in. And so the great message the wise men proclaim to us is this. Hey, you need to live wisely each day of our life. I want us to understand that the manger scenes in America have shepherds and they have wise men. But the truth is that the wise men came much later. They were not at the birth manger of Christ. They came to a place, according to Matthew chapter 2, it was a house. And Jesus is probably about a year and a half old. And so we're talking about a group of people that set out on a journey to follow a star, and that led them to where Christ lived, and it's about a year and a half later in which they found him. So what I want to do today is share with you some life lessons from the wise men or the Magi of how you and I can live wisely in life, okay? So look at your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. The first point is this. The Magi or the wise men prioritize their lives around a relationship with Jesus Christ. They prioritize their life around a relationship with Jesus Christ. Read with me verses 1 and 2a in your notes. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Whether they came from Persia or Arabia, they set out on a journey, and somehow a star directed their footsteps to the place where Jesus was. But they'd made a priority in their life to follow after. Now, there's a reason for this, and it's found in Matthew 2, 5, and 6. This is the prophecy from the Old Testament. Let's read it together. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. The wise men from Persia or wherever they're from must have known there was a prophecy about one that was going to come into the world who would be a ruler. And they had studied this and they knew this. And this individual would become a shepherd for the people of Israel. You know, Yogi Berra, former catcher and a coach, he has some great quotes, but here's one. If you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. Do you realize a lot of people don't know where they're going? And they do end up someplace else. The wise men had a compass to follow in their life. They had a GPS. They had something inside them that says, you know what, this is what life is about. And they followed a star, which probably took them months to get to and maybe months to prepare. And they followed the star to where Jesus was. Their life was prioritized around the person who was prophesied about and then who was born, and they went after it. So they knew where they were going. Jesus put it this way: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things of life will kind of take care of themselves. Let me tell you, you know what the significance is of prioritizing your life? So we know where we're going. I've got a picture of Michelle. I'll Brie put it up. Simple circles. Each one of those lines represents something in our lives. Could be family, could be health, maybe it's money, could be our career, could be a lot of things, because we have all those things in our life. But here's the key question: what's at the center? And the dot here represents the very central part of the circle. And it's just like our life. We ask ourselves the question, what is at the very center of my life? The wise men somehow had centered in their life a relationship based on God's word that Jesus Christ was to be the centerpiece of their life. There's a reason why that's so important. And I want you to look at the center dot. And when Jesus Christ is at the very center of our life, here's what it does. Listen closely. When he is there, that dot, that person, connects us this life into the next. He's our bridge. He is the one that, based on his word, we know where we're going. A place called heaven. And when we put him at the very middle, at the very center, he becomes our anchor. He becomes the point that life revolves around him. We make wise decisions based on that centerpiece. And God blesses us because of that. So the wise men, they knew about the dot. They had a lot of other things going in their life. They had careers and families and money and activities and schedules, all those things, but they knew the dot was the most important thing in their life. And so the first thing we can learn from them is that they wisely prioritize their lives around this relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, the second thing we can learn from them about living wisely is they dedicated their time to seek him. They dedicated time to seek him. Read with me Matthew 2:2b in your notes. We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. One source said that it could have been a 1,000-mile journey. You don't do a 1,000-mile journey on camels overnight. It could have taken months. And one author said it took months to prepare for it. And so they set out on a pilgrimage. Remember, Jesus is about a year and a half old, thereabouts. And they set out to find him, and it took a lot of their time. I came across a story about someone who was going to church for years, and they wondered if it was worth it. And a churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. I've gone for 30 years now, he wrote, and in that time, I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastor's wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. Well, it started a controversy, and the letters to the editor column, and they were delighted by it because it went on for a while, but this is the clincher, the letter that kind of resolved the case. Somebody wrote a letter and says, I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me strength. I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. You see, if we do not nourish ourselves spiritually, we will be spiritually dead. Reggie Joyner, in his book, Parenting Beyond Your Capacity, talks about a weekly rhythm. He said the secret of life, one of them, is in your weekly rhythm. We all have rhythms in our lives of what we do each week. Here's what he says. It's what you do day to day that counts. For example, you take time in the morning just to spend a few minutes reading God's word and praying and asking for his help during the day. It's part of your rhythm. Or how about just praying before you eat the meal, saying a word of grace? Or how about this? When you come to Sunday, and this thing called church, you said, do I need to go? Should I go? Can I tell you? It's the secrets in the weekly rhythm. And when we put ourselves in places where we are nourished spiritually, we're in good shape. If we don't, we shrivel up. And so the wise men knew a secret. They said, hey, we will commit our time to pursuing the one who makes a difference in our life. I love the end of this article about the letter to the editor. It says, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. You see, when we can be alive physically, but dead spiritually. And so the wise men say, hey, you need to prioritize your life, but secondly, commit time in the weekly rhythm of your life and create something in that rhythm that allows you to be fed spiritually. I want to show a little hourglass here. This represents our time, and this whole thing about rhythm, everybody's got the same amount of time. Here's the secret. It depends what we put into our rhythm. It depends what we put into it. Here's a quote, ran across it yesterday. Yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose. We can't recover yesterday, but we can do something. We can decide whether we win or lose tomorrow based on the rhythms and the decisions we make about our lives. So the wise men traveled maybe 1,000 miles. It took them months. They made a decision to invest time into pursuing Christ. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise, make the most of every opportunity in life. So number two, just be wise in how you what you do with your time. Number three says, they engage their skills to serve him. They engage their skills. Read with me verses 9 and 10 in your notes. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. The wise men were people that were educated, they were philosophers, and they knew something about the stars. And they had trained themselves through the years, and they were good at it. Now, here's the insight. They engaged their skills in following the star, which led them to Jesus. They served God in that way. And I want you to notice when they found him, what they experienced. They said they were overjoyed. Overjoyed. You know what you do when you use your gifts, your abilities, your skills, and you have an opportunity to serve other people? You know what the end result is? It's called joy. There's joy behind me, these big letters. The ladies that sang for us, they're gifted in that area. And you know what they're going to feel like this afternoon? They're going to have amazing joy. It'll be a high for a while. You know why? They used their gifts, and they had an opportunity, and it brings them great joy when they do it. Here's a picture I came across yesterday. I thought it was good. The red ladder is a little taller than the others. God calls all of us that whatever our gifts are, he calls us to a life of excellence. Excellence is the red ladder. It's the best version of you that can be you. It's called excellence. I came across something by Vince Lombardi. I want to read it to you. He says this: the quality of a man's life is in direct proportion to his commitment to excellence, regardless of his chosen field or endeavor. I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. You see, God wants you to be the red ladder. When you take your giftedness, whatever it is, and you mature it and grow it, and you become the best version of you possible, the end result, something called being overfilled with joy. Just because that's how it works. Your gifts plus God's opportunity to serve other people, I tell you, you can't get any better than that in life when you find that intersection between the two. So the wise men, that's what they did. They use their skills and ability, and they engage their skills. The verse in 1 Peter says this: each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So, wow, we prioritize our life. We dedicate our time to him. We engage our skills. Let's go to number four. The fourth one is this: they gave their treasures to honor him. They gave their treasures. Read with me verse 11 in your notes. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. So we think there were three wise men. We don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't say, but there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold represents a gift worthy of a king. That's who Christ was. Frankincense was like an incense, an aroma to God, in which he would be honored just because of God's blessing on his life. Myrrh was like a burial spice, an anointment. And when Jesus died, it represented his death and resurrection. So these three gifts represented his life. Now, here's the insight I want you to pick up on. When they got there and they found Jesus, it says they opened their treasures. In the Old Testament, there's a verse that says we should live life open-handedly. Let me tell you, the opposite of open-handedness is a clenched fist. A clenched fist holds on to everything we have in our life. We hang on tightly. On the other hand, for the people that are open-handed, you go through life, you open up your treasures to not only honor God the Father, but to bless other people. You know, we are blessed in this church that we have so many open-handed people. You know, for the month of December, a lot of good things happen, but it happens all year long. You know why? People live this way. They just kind of journey through life, and whatever they have, they share it. Could be your time, could be your talent, could be your money, the stuff we have in our house. I mean, it's all that stuff. If we live open-handed, God can pour more into it. If we live close-fisted, we hang on to it, and it gets stopped up. So we find here the wise men, they opened their treasures and they shared with other people. Hey, one of the greatest blessings is when you and I, you know this, when you share and give it out, let me tell you, that's where the blessing's at, is it not? So here's what Jesus said. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. I want to talk just a moment about the least of these. When you bless other people, you're doing it under Christ. It could be someone in Walton. It could be someone somewhere in another part of the world. I know this church family sponsors different kids in different countries, and that's an awesome thing. We help people in different parts of the world. We help people locally. But here's the key. Whenever you do whatever you do unto the least of these, you've done it as unto Christ. The wise men knew the secret. They opened their treasures and presented it to Christ. Listen, Christmas is about 3 days away. I got a challenge for the congregation. You've been great. I mean, looking back at December, all the things that have happened and they're still happening, it's amazing. But I want you to find somebody in the next 3 days to be open-handed with. Whatever it is God leads you to do, lays on your heart, find somebody. You might be a high schooler, maybe you're in school, maybe you're in college, maybe you're an adult, whatever. Everybody's got somebody. It can be something small, but do this, live open-handed, and be a blessing to other people. That's another lesson from the Magi. So, wow, let me just do a quick summary. The Magi prioritize their life around a relationship with Jesus Christ. They dedicated their time to seek him. They had a rhythm of the importance of being spiritually fed. Number three, they engaged their skills to serve him. Find the intersection of your skills and God's opportunity for your life, and you will be filled with joy. And finally, number four, they lived open-handed. They gave of their treasures to other people. Final picture, here it is. Wise men and women today still seek him. The Magi say, hey, live wisely. Everybody's opportunity, good choices. It's all about what's at the center, what we do with our time, what we do with our skills, and also what we do with the treasures that God blesses us with. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's my first question. What's at your center? That's the bottom line question. You see, Jesus was born as a baby, but he's a resurrected Lord now, and he wants to sit on the throne of your heart and be that centerpiece. You know why? It bridges this life to the next. We can be secure, and we know where we're going. If you're here, maybe you just need to open the door of your heart and just say, Dear Jesus, here's my life. I believe you died for my sins. Come into my heart, or I recommit my heart to you. Secondly, your rhythms and the time. Maybe God will speak to you that there's some new rhythms or things in your rhythm that you want to establish. Maybe in your home. Maybe it's in church. Maybe it's serving other people. Just make a decision today to establish the best rhythms that you can. Number three. Your skills. Say, God, I want to be the red ladder. I want to be the best version of me possible. And you give your life to serve other people, God's opportunity with your skills equals joy in your tank. And finally, number four. Are you living open-handed? I know many of you are. And some of us just need to do better. And say, God, you've blessed me with a lot. Help me in the next 3 days to find somebody out there that I can bless. Lord, we thank you this morning that wise men still seek him. And we all want to be wise people. So thank you for this great insight into the Magi's lives of how they sought Jesus and they taught us many lessons. So make us as a congregation a wise people to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.